Hey there, Legal Tea listeners. This is your host, Jenny Roselle. Today we are back to the celebrity estate planning topic, and for the episode, we are going to dive into what happened following the death of Susan Buffett. And surely the last name should ring a bell for you, Buffett, as in Warren Buffett. Before I get started, I have to give a word of caution that I have caught a little bit of a bug, so you may be able to hear it in my voice. Well, I guess I don't even know if I got a bug or if it's allergies. Here in Indiana, it's starting to transition seasons, and it's a little confused about what it wants to do outside, so it might be allergies too, but if a cough happens to sneak in, I hope I don't scare you. So, alrighty, Susan Buffett, she was Warren Buffett's first wife, and they were married for a long time, which we'll get into, and they were married until she died in 2004. So as we always do on celebrity estate planning episodes, let's get into Susan, like personally speaking, to really gain a better understanding of her as a person and those closest to her. Then we will transition into her estate plan and what specifically happened after her death. Hailing from Nebraska, Susan was born in 1932, according to her Wikipedia page. Ironically, her father, William Thompson, was a one-time campaign manager for Howard Buffett, which is Warren Buffett's father. So there was a link between Warren and Susan that started significantly before they more officially met while they were both at Northwestern University, and they met through Warren's sister, Roberta. Well, that link between Warren and Susan must have been super strong because they ended up getting married in 1952, all according to Wikipedia. Together, they ended up having three children: Susan Alice Buffett, the daughter. She was born in 1953. Then we have Howard Graham Buffett, born in 1954, and Peter Andrew Buffett, born in 1958. So to talk about Warren and Susan's marriage is a little bit of a puzzle, and I'm sure you're like, what does that even mean, Jenny? Well, there are a lot of rumors out there, really about exactly how faithful they both were to each other. But what is not a rumor is that Susan introduced Warren to a lady by the name of Astrid Minx in 1978. And Astrid later became Warren's second and current wife after Susan died. About this same time in 1977, 1978-ish, it was said that Susan and Warren, while they remained married, started living fairly separate lives, including not even living together. According to Wikipedia, quote, the Buffetts attended public functions as husband and wife, though they had not lived together for more than half their marriage, end quote. Even more interesting, and perhaps to some a little strange, Warren and Susan were said to have sent Christmas cards and actually signed the cards as Warren, Susan, and Astrid. That just really makes me a bit confused, but to each their own, I suppose. Just a little bit more about Susan. According to Wikipedia, Susan was well known for her activism for causes such as civil rights, abortion rights, and birth control. She also was a director of Berkshire Hathaway, and she owned 2.2% of the company, which was valued at around $3 billion, like billion with a B, at the time of her death. That, as well as other assets, made her, at that time, the 153rd richest person in the world. Wow. And lastly, Susan was also the president of the Buffett Foundation, which was later named the Susan Thompson Buffett Foundation, which was a charitable organization to manage her and Warren's charitable giving efforts. Shifting to Susan's final years, specifically in 2003, Susan was diagnosed with oral cancer. She attempted surgery and radiation, and even through the battle and recovery, Warren would fly to Nebraska to be with her. According to Wikipedia, he actually later donated $6 million to five specific California doctors for oral cancer research. Well, Susan ended up having a, you know, at least a semi-successful recovery, because it wasn't until 2004 when she suffered a stroke, which is what caused her death. And she was 72 at the time of her death. According to Wikipedia, quote, Warren was so grief-stricken that he did not attend Susan's funeral, end quote. After her passing, an estate plan was confirmed, and thank goodness, right? Since at that time, she was the 153rd richest person in the world. I'm glad someone with that type of wealth prioritized estate planning. And I say that because, you know, if you're a faithful Legalty listener, you know we've talked about a lot of celebrities on these types of celebrity estate planning episodes, and so many failed to do estate planning. Too many. So good job, Susan. What did her estate plan do? What did it say? Well, according to Philanthropy News Outlet, a significant portion of Susan's estate actually went to the Buffett Foundation, or like I said, that was later named the Susan Thompson Buffett Foundation. Her estate's likely biggest asset was her ownership percentage in Berkshire Hathaway, which was valued at around $3 billion at her death, like I referenced earlier. From 2004-ish, which is the year she passed, through like 2006-ish, the shares of the Berkshire Hathaway stock, her shares were sold, and those proceeds were first utilized to pay like estate taxes and pay for other estate-related expenses, and ultimately were also used to fulfill some cash bequests to her children and grandchildren. According to Wikipedia, those cash bequests were to the tune of about $10 million to each of her three children and $100,000 to each of her grandchildren. Additionally, it was reported that there were cash gifts given to a few other people, friends, longtime employees, like $8 million to a fella named John McCabe, that was her former tennis coach, and another $1 million to a gentleman by the name of Ron Parks. And I couldn't find who Ron Parks was to her, but nonetheless, $1 million to him. You may be thinking, wow, someone with that type of wealth and she only left $10 million to each child and $100,000 to each grandchild? Well, not so fast. Because additional shares of the Berkshire Hathaway stock was sold, and those funds, which was approximately $150 million, was split equally, so $50 million each, to each of her children's private foundations. Those foundations were established by Warren and Susan for each of their children. And further, I feel like I should note that I am sure with the type of wealth the Buffetts have and had, they have probably been encouraged and recommended to do lifetime gifting. So gifting money out of their estate to people for estate tax planning purposes, and may even have some, you know, various kinds of trust plans also for estate tax planning purposes, all, you know, possibly for their children's benefit and grandchildren's benefit, which those kind of things are, you know, settled and handled privately and not really of public nature. So that's me speculating a little bit, but I am sure with their type of mega wealth that Susan's kids were probably, you know, well, Warren and Susan's kids were probably financially supported in other means beyond what is just publicly known. Lastly, really everything else went to the Buffett Foundation, which was still in the billions with a B. Interestingly, sometime after Susan's death, Warren said that he plans to leave his Berkshire Hathaway stock, which in 2004, when Susan died, when he made these comments, was estimated to be around $40 billion, also to the Buffett Foundation. That is according to the Philanthropy News Outlet piece, and that was written in 2004. So who knows what the value of that stock is nowadays, right? Warren, of course, is still living, so perhaps since 2004, his mind may have changed or not. We will just have to see what happens, specifically after Warren passes away, to see if he follows through with that notion. And if he does, the Philanthropy News outlet said it would make the Buffett Foundation, or the Susan Thompson Buffett Foundation, the largest foundation in the United States. So that's basically what we know about Susan Buffett's estate. let's briefly talk about a few things that we can talk about and maybe that we can learn from her estate and apply it to all of us, even though we are not billionaires with a B. First, I want to talk about estate taxes. I did an episode, it was episode 116 on estate taxes, and specifically how at the turn of the, at the turn of the 2025-2026 calendar year, the estate tax threshold is set to reduce. Without further action from Congress, the federal estate tax amount will, the exclusion amount will go back to pre-Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, but adjusted for inflation, which depending on the source would make us anywhere between 6 to 7 million per person. So as a married couple, 12 to 14. If these numbers from like an estate value standpoint, if they apply to you, or if you feel like you're getting close to those numbers, you definitely should be talking to your estate planning attorney to see if there's anything you should be doing prior to 2026 to maximize estate tax planning. Another thing we can learn from and talk about following Susan's estate episode, this episode, is generally speaking what estate planning allows you to do. And that's that you get to be in the driver's seat of your plan. So, you know, you remember how Susan had the cash gifts go to her children and grandchildren and some friends? Those are often what are called specific bequests. Specific bequests are things that you want to happen very, very specifically. So the beautiful thing that Susan did and that you can do too is kind of think of an estate plan as like a blank canvas that you're about to paint. Whatever you want to have happen, whatever you want to go on that blank canvas, someone like me, an estate planning attorney, can usually make happen. The sky's the limit. If someone wants to be extremely custom or specific, let's do it. Someone like me can walk you through how to get it done, maybe the pros and cons that you know you should be analyzing as you're trying to kind of put together this blank canvas. When you do not do an estate plan, you are basically in the trunk. You're not in the passenger seat. You're definitely not in the driver's seat. And you're not even a backseat driver. You basically don't have much of a say at all. So just do your estate plan, my friends. And lastly, I think another focus of Susan's estate plan that I want to highlight is her charitable giving. Now, transparently, most of my clients want things to go to their family, their kids, their beneficiaries, and don't really do much charitable giving through their estate plan. Though, I think sometimes that term of art, charitable giving, feels bigger than what it actually is. You could, in your estate plan, leave a charitable organization like $500, $1,000, you know, something small. And technically, that is charitable giving. My husband and I, in our estate plan, have some gifts to some organizations that are really near and dear to us. And they're not massive gifts. They're not substantial. So if you want to leave something, even if it feels small, to an organization that means a lot to you, you should absolutely do it. Alrighty, I think we are ready to wrap this episode up. I only coughed once. I had to sniffle just a couple of times, so hopefully you didn't catch that. Next week, we are back to a cautionary tale episode where we talk about real-life clients, real-life cases that I or my office have actually worked on, or maybe they're just things that are generally good things to know and be aware of so that you don't slip up and become a cautionary tale one day on this podcast. I usually give a little sneak peek for next week's topic, but honestly, I haven't really figured out what I'm talking about yet, so I guess it will just have to be a surprise. So tune in for the surprise next week. Until then, take care and be well.